Good morning and welcome to a Wednesday on The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Your opening story made me think about George Orwell's Thought Police.
Well, and after last fall, we had a lot of conversations about that.
You bet.
You'll see what that means in just a minute. Now, at the nexus of young adulthood and college, there is a lot of liberal thought. In part, that's because conservative academics in liberal arts schools are a small minority, less than 20%. It can be difficult to function with liberal peers and students, as again, we remember from last fall's campus demonstrations and confrontations. According to a recently published book by two political and, yes, conservative scientists, it isn't easy to be a conservative academic. Contributing editor Neil Milner joins us now with a look at passing on the right. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Looking at this book and some of what it says about conservatives, it almost sounds like, you know, we have, you know, people in the closet here.
Well, it does. The good news for conservatives is that even though they're in the minority, and this is based on, by the way, Shields and Dunn interviewed 154 conservative academics in 84 schools. That's a lot. What they find is that conservatives are definitely in the minority in the liberal arts, the liberal arts part of academia, and that it's just really small. But what they also found out is that the things that other conservative critics often criticize universities for discriminating overtly against conservatives and for liberals brainwashing turns out not to be the case. And conservatives who are in the minority generally think that they're treated okay. And some of them even like being in the minority because they can be like Jerry Seinfeld. They can describe the absurdities of other things. But there are other kinds of issues that are significantly problems for the conservatives.
And we'll get to those. But it also seems that a lot of conservatives who are in liberal arts academia make an effort not necessarily to self-reveal, that in fact they tend to assimilate or they tend to evade. Very few are in the combative mode.
Well, that's right. And that's where the term passing on the right, the title is really a nice pun, because what Shields and Dunn say is that a lot of conservative academics behave in their profession the way gay people behaved before it got a little bit easier to come out and be gay. That is, they closet themselves. They don't feel overtly discriminated against, but they're in part of a profession where the dominant feeling is that conservatives can't be intellectuals, and that the kind of progressive agenda has become seen as conventional wisdom. So one of the things that they do is they first of all, since they're so lonely and in a minority, they carefully look for others like them and ask certain questions to see if they share things.
And are there signs and wonders that you're talking
well,
about?
They're not signs and wonders. Well, signs, I mean, part of these folks are, in fact, religious conservatives, although many of them are not. But what they're looking for are the same kinds of signs that you look for, let's say, when you're a closeted gay person and are looking for friends, looking for others like you. And so they do that sort of thing. They develop their own kind of networks. One of the guys described it, it's sort of like being gay in Mississippi in the 1950s. Essentially, you're reaching out for others like you. Even if you're not overtly discriminated against, you feel like you're not sufficiently part of the culture. And that's pretty much where the book ends, but then something else has happened since the book has come out.
Right. We should say this was written in the pre-Trump era.
This was written in the there was researched in the pre-Trump era. It was researched a couple of years ago, probably. They finished up the research. And when I went back to look at the book in light of what's going on, I thought, hey, there's a whole other issue here that frankly would drive the conservative academics nuts now, and it's not liberals.
What is it?
What is it? Well, two words. It's Donald Trump. And four words, it's, what is it, the right-wing populism, three words, I guess. And the reason is this. When they talk to all of these conservatives, even though there is some significant differences between libertarians and religious conservatives and others, one of the things that they find that conservative academics share in their belief is the issue of prudence, that they very much distrust passionate politics. They very much distrust big promises. They very much distrust populism.
Well, you just sort of described Donald Trump.
Yes, I did. And I described a lot of other things around. Many of these guys never vote, or people there, it's the women in there, because they never can find candidates. But what Donald Trump presents to them and what right-wing populism presents to them is their biggest fear in lots of ways. So it's going to be very and this kind of conservatism that they manifest, this concern with the passion of factions, this concern about people dismissing the roles of institutions that institutions play, this concern that there's too much anger and not enough thinking and there's too much irrationality, that's been a kind of thread of conservatism for a long time. But it may be getting lost in this battle with right-wing populism.
So how are our conservative academics going to be able to be who they really are and be able to profess their own beliefs as a matter of academic thought?
Well, the academic thought, see, ironically here, the academic thought is less of a problem than the kind of public thought. If you're an academic, I mean, you know, I come from the wonderful and wacky world of academics, and I understand the really good part. And the good part is that even though the conservatives have this kind of minority status, life can be pretty good for them as long as they're inside academia. The real question is, how are these ideas, which are not just their ideas, but reflect a kind of old thread in conservatism, going to come out in this ultimate battle over the soul of conservatism, which is going to be fought, first of all, the soul of the Republican Party, whether Donald Trump wins or not. And it's going to be very interesting because this kind of notion that moderation and prudence is important has really taken a minority status compared to two things. One is Trump's populism, and the other is this kind of unfettered belief in wealth, that kind of uncritical look at capitalism. And those have been the two dominant views. And in a culture now where there's so much emphasis on individualism, on anger, and so on, this fight for keeping this sort of traditional conservatism may really be more threatened than anything else. So these people may become less relevant in the public sphere, these academics, and their life in the private, in their own professional sphere may still be about the same.
That doesn't seem to do very much for the overall general enrichment of the narrative.
Which narrative?
Well, the narrative that says that we value different opinions, that we value diversity. I mean, we say these things,
yes.
But we really don't seem to value those things.
Well, there are two things going on here. The book, which is pre-Trump, addresses the value of diversity in academia and has a pretty sophisticated argument for the limits of academia right now. It isn't that they distrust that liberals necessarily distrust the conservative thought. It isn't even part of their agenda. They don't think about it. So that's the kind of limits of the narrative there. And you can make a diversity argument. And ironically, they use John Haidt a lot of times to talk about how hard that is. But here we're talking about what you might call public intellectuals, where from my standpoint, this kind of traditional conservatism in the battle for where conservatism is going to go is more threatened outside, that is outside academia, than it is inside, where inside you do have this kind of protection, even though you may be in the minority.
Lots more fragmenting.
Lots more fragmenting and lots more limits on the power of ideas.
And the ability to discuss them.
And the ability
openly.
To discuss them. That's right.
All right, we got to leave it there in the interest of time. You're going away for a couple of weeks.
I'm going away for a couple of weeks.
We'll see you on the 20th.
Okay.
Thanks for being here.
Sure.
Political scientist Neil Milner is the contributing editor of our biweekly segment, The Long View.